Have you observed the Canadian geese flying around yesterday or the other day or lately? And melting of the snow, what does that mean? Spring is coming. Are you ready for gardening, fishing, or long driving? Well, everyone might have been very excited because you are now wearing lighter clothes, not very heavy ones. Anyway, how are you coping with the effect of the pandemic in your lifestyle? When the pandemic broke out a few years ago, were you alarmed? Were you scared? What was your reaction when the government mandated wearing masks? Did you welcome it? Did you oppose it? Were you upset? Did you appreciate it? And now the Manitoba government has lifted indoor mask mandate across the province. Do you have peace in mind? Are you concerned? It's wise to take precaution, eh? The government may mandate beneficial advisories, but not everyone can easily appreciate it. And health authorities would advise what they consider as helpful, but still, the human instinct of adventurism could influence individuals to choose what they like to do. That's human adventurism. I want to do what I want to do. Whatever you say, I do what I do. Wearing mask or not, our health is at stake. Well, concern about health, this is historical. It's not only in our generation. It's a struggle in the society ever since. And the news of invasion of other kingdoms, it happened in the past, but it also affected the economy. Pandemic or international conflict, it affected the economy. What can we do? What can we do? We pray. Even in the Bible times, generations in the Bible times, they also have economic crisis. And in the time of Prophet Elisha, there was economic crisis because of war. The king of Aram was invading Israel, and the economy in that area, in that region, had suffered. So Elisha instructed the woman whose son he restored to life. He told her, take your family abroad. Go abroad for 7 years, 7 years. 7 years there will be famine in the land. There will be economic crisis in the land. And after 7 years, the woman and her family came back and went to appeal to the king for her house and land. It says in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. Let's read together. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he signed an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land, from the day she left the country until now." Well, there was no similar story happened again about Elisha helping a woman are advising a woman to go abroad. Listen, when the Lord gives instruction, His blessing for obedience is certain. It is sure. If it is very hard for you, for us, to obey the Lord, what shall we do? When there's instruction of the Lord, and we think, Lord, that is very hard, what should we do? Pray. Tell the Lord, why do you think that His instruction is hard? What's your reason why you cannot obey? Why you wish to delay your obedience? Like, for example, if the Lord asks you to be a missionary, but Lord, I'm still in the university, I'm still studying, then just tell Him. Well, sometimes when the Lord speaks, it doesn't mean that immediately you would go. He will tell you when. He will tell you exactly when. There was a time when I was a new believer, and I sensed like I want to be a missionary. I enrolled in the seminary. After enrolling in the seminary, I was trying to tell my mission professor, I want to be a missionary. But he told me, you study first. Study first. And I feel like my desire to go to mission was suppressed. That was in 1996, 1997. I sensed that. And okay, if it's not yet time, I wait. And then 2004, that's more or less eight to nine years before we went to mission. So it doesn't mean that when you hear it today that you're going to mission, it doesn't mean that you go to tomorrow. Pray about that, because God would tell you exactly when the right time you would go or you would obey. So any concern that matters your obedience to the Lord, tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I think. Can please clarify, please help me be clear if I obey you or not yet. So if you need concrete assurance of the promise of blessing for obedience, ask the Lord, Lord, is there really a blessing in this? Help me see practically what happened. The Lord will not give you everything at once, but step by step, it depends upon your faith in Him. He will tell you what you can grasp, what you can understand. Pray for increase of faith. Lord, help me. Keep on praying. If there's any doubt, there's hesitation, keep praying. Lord, strengthen my faith. Pray for wisdom. Wisdom, we need godly wisdom. Don't just try to understand what the Lord says, because our human mindset cannot grasp godly things, godly principles. We are just very below where God is. Pray for cheerful willingness. Lord, let me follow you cheerfully. A while back, Brother Dave told us about giving. Giving should not be reluctant, should not be under compulsion, but cheerful giving. Cheerful giving, it's not only about giving financial things, giving our time too, giving our service, giving our ability, giving our life. If we can give it cheerfully, that comes from the Lord. But our human response is to resist. If you sense that resistance in your life, pray, Lord, fill me with cheerful willingness to obey you. And don't deceive yourself. Make sure you have faith in Christ. Make sure that you are strong in your faith in the Lord. Obedience to the instruction of the Lord, this is the most practical proof we sincerely believe Him. Don't just go and obey because you want to obey. It's not. It should be the product of our faith. So this is not about legalism. It's not about legalism. People would say, if we obey the law, that's legalism. Yes, It is legalism. But if it is God's grace at work in our life, if we claim that God's grace is at work in our life, we can only see that work through obedience to the law, because the law, the word of God, is the standard, the acceptable measure if we really obeyed or not. How do you know that you obeyed according to the will of God? We look at the word of God. The more we obey the Lord, the more we will be certain of experiencing much blessing. Our message today is entitled, Obedience Equals Blessing. Can you repeat that? Obedience equals blessing. Put that in mind. You pray for blessing, you need to obey. Ask for increase of faith. Ask for stronger faith. You believe that Jesus Christ can save believers from the slavery of sin? Can you say amen? Do you believe that? That Christ can save us from the slavery of sin, from the penalty of sin? Did you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you very sure that today, if the Lord Jesus comes, you will enter heaven? Who among us are still in doubt? Are you hesitant? Pray for increase of faith. Now, if you believe that, you will enter heaven one day. Can you believe that Christ can save us from the slavery of disobedience? Can he free us? Which is harder to happen? To be freed from disobedience or to enter heaven? Which one? If you believe that Christ can bring you into heaven, which is we cannot see any evidence just yet. And you believe that, why is it hard for him to free us from disobedience? Are we not deceiving ourselves with that kind of belief? Surely he can. Surely he can. But problem is, are we accepting him as our Savior to free us from the slavery of disobedience? Pray for increase of faith. Lord, help me believe that you can free me from the slavery of disobedience. Christ, our Savior, can free us, can save us from any bondage. Which bondage is causing you to commit sin? Can you believe with confidence that the Lord has wonderful, wonderful plan in your life? Can you believe that? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Sincerely pray for strong faith to be him with gladness, with cheerfulness. You will be blessed. Have you personally explored, if you believe that God has a wonderful plan in your life, have you explored what is that wonderful plan of the Lord for you? Where can you experience that wonderful plan of the Lord for you? When can you experience that wonderful plan of the Lord for you? Did you explore those possibilities? Did you think of those possibilities? Or just let that wonderful plan stick in your mind, and you would just take it from the back of your head whenever you wish, and not trying to explore what the wonderful plan of God is for you? Can you accept that godly principles, biblical principles, can point you to the wonderful plan of God for you? Now, that's another thing that you need to think about. How many among us have presumed that the wonderful plan of God would include material blessings, personal attainment, practical achievements? What do you have in mind right now? What do you think is the wonderful plan of God for you? Let's consider how godly principle direct us to that wonderful plan of God for us. Personally, what specific purpose has the Lord assigned for you practically? What specific purpose has the Lord assigned for you practically? Did you hear him say, just live where you are right now and you will be a blessing to the people acquainted to you? Or did you ask him, what is my mission purpose? Well, all believers are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Can you accept that? Are you a spiritual descendant of Abraham, the father of faith? All faithful believers are children of Abraham. That's biblical truth. And since by faith we acknowledge that we are descendants of Abraham, the mission purpose that God gave him is also our mission, right? Have you realized that? The Lord instructed Abraham. He told him in Genesis chapter 12, if you would go there in your free time, you would find that he told him to leave his country, give him great plan. And the Lord had a worldwide plan to Abraham. He said in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, this is the worldwide plan of the Lord. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, although it is also in Genesis chapter 12. It says, let's read. This is the worldwide plan of God to Abraham. Through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That is the worldwide great plan, grand plan of God that he told Abraham. Offspring, what is offspring? Descendants. What's the grand plan of God? Offspring of Abraham, his descendants, of course, believers included. We serve as channels. We serve as vessels of God to bless all nations, cultural groups, tribal groups, ethnic groups. We bless. Now, how could we become blessing to other nations? If you were in the countryside back in the Philippines and you were using kind like something to transfer water, if you have garden here in Canada and you use that hose, water hose, right? It's kind like the water hose is a channel of water from the source to your plant, right? That water hose experiences first the freshness of the water before it reaches the plant, right? Can you imagine that? If God uses you as channels of blessing, it means you will be the first to be refreshed before the blessing reach its destination. How about that? Can you say amen to that? Amen. If God had planned us to be channels of blessing and vessels to God, to all nations, to all cultural groups, tribal groups, ethnic groups, any person he allows us to be acquainted with, then praise be to God if we are blessed first. Can you accept that God had chosen you as godly vessel to share the good news of salvation to individuals he had already prepared for you? Now, if you think that God would use you to tell others about the eternal life he promised, would you not be assured first before sharing the gospel? Please don't try to deceive yourself. If you believe or even hesitate, then listen carefully. Let's read verse 22 to 24. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Imagine this. It's your first date. You dressed up. You put on your makeup. When you look at the mirror, you're dressed and makeup looks very foolish. But you ignored what you look at in the mirror because you have limited time. You think, oh, I don't want to disappoint my date. I want to be early. I don't want to be late for my first date. And so you went to an appointment as disappointment to your date. The scripture reflects to us the foolishness we have to change from our lifestyle. When we read the scripture, and it says there that you need to change something that is in you, then don't ignore and be disappointment to your first date. In the scripture, when instruction to listen, when it says listen, is added to the command, obedience is expected to happen next. So listening and not taking action is self-deception to hearers. Well, this is very common to professionals, even professional counselors. And they claim, I'm listening. If you say something, I'm listening. They may have heard what you said. They may even repeat what you have said word for word. But they will not do anything about it. They just serve you. They just serve as your sounding board. Many times when I give sermon to my family, it's hard to be a member of a pastor's family. You hear sermon at church building. You hear sermon at home, right? That's tough, right? And so in every time I give sermon, at home, I would ask, what did you understand? And they would give me what they understand. But many counselors would say, I understand, I hear you, but they serve as sounding board. And truly, there are people who just want to voice out their opinion. You do not need to say something. They want you to be their sounding board. You do not need to comment. Just say, okay, yeah, I hear you. That is what they want. And sad, it's sad. It's sad reality. But many church attendees prefer to be sounding board for preachers. I don't know if preachers would like only sounding boards. I don't know a preacher who says, I only want somebody as my sounding board. After listening to sermons, they go home as if they heard nothing, no transformation. What is our purpose of attending church services? We should attend church and learn at least one godly principle we can apply in life. At least one. You do not need to remember everything. If you want to remember everything, go to our website, and the manuscript is posted by Koyamax there. So thank you for Koyamax for giving his time. posting the message there. You want to listen, you can listen. If you want to read, you can read in our website. Now, if you heard a message, and that message makes you anxious, worry, depressed, remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9. Let's read this together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. The God of peace will be with you now. This time, you have problems about the pandemic, problems about gas, economic crisis, you have problem about international conflicts, you have problems around in our community, we are a problem at home, at work, in school, a lot of problem that bothers us. This is the passage that you want to memorize and ask yourself. If you are bothered, it says in verse 6, do not be anxious. But if it's still you are anxious, you don't have the peace of mind. You don't have the peace of God. Peace of God, we don't understand everything because it surpasses understanding. You do not need to explain, but you need to have that peace of mind. I don't understand, but I have peace. There are problems everywhere, but I have peace. It guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Why? If your heart is troubled, if your mind is troubled. You are not healthy. So ask yourself, whatever, is this true? Is this noble? Is this right? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this admirable? Is this excellent? Is this praiseworthy? Those things, ask. If they are not, If what you are thinking does not have those description, then Lord, help me to think what is noble, what is true, instead of thinking about this problem at work that I cannot even solve. How can we experience that peace? It says in verse 9, whatever you learn and receive and heard and seen, put into practice. The God of peace will be with you. What is the meaning of the word practice? Practice is regular activity. It's not one-time activity. Practice means it could be every day, but not every week. That's too long. Every day could be good, or every other day would be good. You are going to the gym. If you are a fitness enthusiast, there are advice there. You can exercise 3 times a week or 4 times a week. Every day would be good too, but with light exercise. Now, if you there were times when we were playing basketball. This is very funny. We play basketball every week. And yet, only when we play that basketball that we have that exercise. We don't have it. So how do we expect to win the game if we don't practice basketball every day? We go there just to have fun. We don't expect to win if we don't have everyday practice. Similar in a spiritual life, just having fun or want to practice, and you would experience the peace from God. It says, Whatever, verse 9, whatever you learn, you've learned and received, heard or seen, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That is when we experience the presence of God in this peace in our life. Practice is not just one-time activity. It involves our whole being. As if everything we face, everything we encounter in this life will depend on our practice habit of godly principles. And as we practice godly principles, we overcome challenges in life and expect blessing from God. Habitual practice of godly principles, it also builds godly character and lifestyle in us. The word of the Lord is very simple. It's easy to understand. But with our human effort, godly principles are hard to practice consistently. That is, we just cannot do it consistently. We need the consistent God to help us, enable us to be consistent. In not our inconsistent humanity, inconsistent human effort. We've got to submit to the Lordship of Christ. How? Ask Him, Lord, help me, empower me, guide me. I cannot understand. I cannot do this alone. Admit it to the Lord. He will surely be willing to help you. We can practice spiritual principles, we can cheerfully obey godly instruction with His help only. It is strongly advisable that before or even the moment you listen to the Word of God, even now, pray to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. In your seat, pray silently where you are. Lord, fill me now, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Just ask silently. He will be willing to do that. Pray until you sense that peace of God. Peace of God is overwhelming, and you know that there's peace. You are not bothered. It transcends understanding. It surpasses all understanding. You do not need to logically explain, but you sense that. That's the peace of God. We do not understand all situations that He allows to happen. Why did God allow pandemic? We do not need to explain that. Why did God allow the increase of gas or commodities? We do not need to explain those things. But if we have peace, well, the Lord is Lord. He does what he wants. If we have that mindset, then you don't worry, go panic buying. You do not go panic buying. If peace from God guards our heart and our mind, we can be safe and not emotionally, mentally confused or disturbed. Coming to worship service is a very precious moment. Don't just waste time. Listen to godly principles very carefully. Why? If we ignore godly instructions, we ignore His blessings. But once we attentively listen and carefully obey godly principles, we are surely blessed. If we listen attentively, carefully follow godly principles, our confidence in the Lord also grows stronger. Now I know that the Lord would do this for me. I know that the Lord would answer my prayer. The Word of God serves as our mirror that would reflect our spiritual maturity. Where are you in your spiritual maturity? Read the Word of God, and the Word of God would tell you there are still something in you that needed to be transformed. Have you ever taken selfie pictures in washroom? Or do you love taking your picture in washroom? Whenever you look at the mirror in the washroom, your cell phone is ready to take a picture of your hair, your ears, maybe even the back of your head. Everyone does. If you plan to post your selfie pictures in social media, make sure to double check the background of your picture. Be aware, be discreet. Pictures can expose foolishness of careless individuals, so try to deceive their subscribers. Well, anyone is free to do whatever they want to do, but learn to use your freedom productively. There are online selfie pictures if you go to online, if you go to YouTube, or you can type their search there, failed selfies, there are selfie pictures with included dirty that smile, and then there's at the background dirty toilet bowl, or cat drinking in the toilet bowl, or taking picture and there's mirror at the back, and it reflects the shameful attitude of the person taking selfie. Why did they post online? Are they intentionally not edited just to expose their foolishness or their unpolished manners? Was that their intention? Well, our lifestyle and manners as believers also can expose us also if we follow godly principles more seriously or not, if we have grown mature in our spiritual life or just not yet, or if we are just simply ignorant of the blessing included in the command of God. Just observe your lifestyle, what you do, your action, your emotion, your word, social media posts, and you know where you are spiritually. Ignorance to the blessing included to godly commands. This is also a reality to the Israelites. It's not just in our time. The Israelites ignored blessing included in the command of the Lord. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 3, if you fully obey the Lord your God carefully and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All the blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Now, there are also curses that were written in the Bible if they disobey. And indeed, it happened in the life of the Israelites. If you read through the book of Genesis, that first five, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, until Joshua and the Judges, if you read through those book and see the commandments of the Lord and the warnings of the Lord to the Israelites, and the Israelites disobeyed, the Israelites obeyed or disobeyed, you can see that what the Lord warned or told the Israelites exactly happened. The Bible was written is not only for historical knowledge, but for us to learn from the life of the Israelites how they disobeyed and how they obeyed and how the Lord responded if they obey or disobeyed. Now, it says there, if you fully obey, and in verse 2, if you obey the Lord. If you fully obey, that term if, it signifies condition. Now, the condition of blessing of God is what? What is the condition? Obey, gents. If we obey, that is the condition. You pray for blessing, the condition before the Lord gives that blessing to you is obedience. The love of God is unconditional. He loves you, but his blessing is another, is something that we need to consider. Blessings are conditional. it depends upon obedience. This is to have fair share of God's blessing. It depends upon our obedience. If the Lord would just give to everyone exactly exact blessing, that is a very unfair, unjust God. What do you think? A person who don't pray, a person who don't worship God, the Lord still gives the same as He gives you. That's unfair, right? That is unjust. The Lord is fair to everyone. This is why He gives condition to blessing. God loves everyone. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That, there's condition. Whoever believes will have eternal life. Eternal life, the love of God is unconditional, but eternal life, there's condition. Those who believe will have eternal life. Not everyone that God loves will enter heaven. Not everyone that God loves will receive His blessing. Well, there are a lot of blessings that God gives to everyone, the sun, the air, everything that we are experiencing here, many things. But there are things that are blessings, peace from God for believers can experience. Now, after Moses died, the Lord chose Joshua. Joshua led Israel to enter the promised land. And listen carefully. The name Joshua means Lord is salvation, or Yahweh saves. And in Greek, the form of Joshua is Jesus. The name Jesus means Joshua in the Old Testament. And it also means the Lord is salvation, or Yahweh saves. Wonderful, light, right? Now, when the Israelites, led by Joshua, entered the promised land, that was a symbolical, practical illustration of eternal life entering heaven. This is why it was not Moses who bring the Israelites into the promised land. It was Joshua. It was not Moses, the greatest leader of Israel. It was Joshua. Because it was an illustration how we enter eternal life. As Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, Jesus, or Joshua, takes believers to heaven for all eternity. When the Israelites followed the instruction of Joshua, they were victorious. They have peace. They live in peace. They worship the Lord. As long as Joshua and the elders were alive, the Israelites were obedient to the Lord. Similarly, if we follow the instruction of the Lord Jesus, we can be victorious in our life. And what may happen when we have hesitation, when we have lapses, when we disobey the Lord? Well, disobedience to the word of the Lord can slow down our spiritual progress. Slow down. Listen, the Israelites were victorious in their battles, but there was one time that they were defeated. They were defeated by a very small city, Ai. After they defeated the great city of Jericho, there was this little city with only more or less 12,000 residents. But the Israelites with 40,000 armed soldiers, they were defeated by only a few. Why was that? There was an Israelite named Achan, sinned against the Lord. He sinned against the Lord, and he admitted that he sinned against the Lord. He was punished for his sin. And after that, Israel was victorious again. Certainly, we also have our personal share of carelessness. We perform chores on our own effort, We do our responsibilities with our own strength. And oftentimes we endure failure. Why? Failure should remind us of our effort to reevaluate our spiritual status. Where am I before the Lord? Am I obedient to the Lord? Do I follow godly principles that the Lord wants me to take? Those questions we should ask when we are facing some kind of failure. Then we should detour from worldly path of life. When there are difficult challenges that catch our attention, that attract us, disturb us, observe, listen very carefully. What is the Lord telling you? What is the Lord telling us? Is the Lord wants us to detour from worldly path of life to the path to follow the path of blessing, of His blessing. So look intently to His word. Read His word. It is a blessing if you can read the word of God every day. If you are a starter reading the word of God every day. If you are not used to reading the word of God, you can start from the book of Proverbs. Read one chapter, very short. Book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. Proverbs and Psalms. If you open your Bible, just go in the middle, it would be the book of Psalms. After that, Proverbs. It's easy. You have your Bible right now, go to the middle. Just put your hand in the middle and you can see it's a book of Psalms. It's easy to find. Read at least one chapter or one verse, two verses, five verses, if you would. Just read. According to the testimony of Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, she would read every day book of Proverbs. Every day, every day, every day. Ruth and Billy Graham did not have an ideal children, their children are very young. Frank Graham was a big biker, motorbiker, motorcycle, big bike. He had that. He wear jacket, and he had his own gang at a very young age. That was Franklin Graham. And yet the Lord transformed him. And I believe it was the prayer of Ruth that God answered. She was very faithful. So parents, you have problems with your children. It would be for you also, if you can follow the example of Ruth Graham, to read at least one verse or two verses of Proverbs every day, that would be great. It would be great. But if you can increase your reading, then be greater. Look intently. Let's read verse 25 again. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You want to be refreshed? If you are pressured, you have anxiety, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Look intently. This look intently, it implies you have firm confidence. If you look intently at the word of God, meaning you truly believe, you have that strong confidence that the word of God is true, is perfect. But if you cannot, still, ask, Lord, increase my faith. I want to have strong confidence in your word. Instruction of the Lord that leads to blessing that He prepared. Lord, I just cannot strongly believe that you would bless me if I obey you. Ask the Lord to help you. if we are intentional, look intently, it implies intention. If we are intentional to follow godly principles, we cannot forget godly principles. If you are intentional, write it down in a piece of paper, cardboard or something, or where you can just put it in your pocket. You can just pull it out every time you want to remember one verse. That would be great. The Word of God reflects if we are enslaved, if we are still in the slavery of human instinct or not. Previously, we learned about human anger as Sunday. Human anger cannot produce righteousness that God desires. And for sure, many among us could testify that it's not easy to get away from human anger. Is it very easy for you to not be angry with very stubborn, disobedient house members? Not just children, house members. What godly principle have you learned to avoid human anger? What is the godly principle to avoid human anger? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Someone said, ang dahilan na bakit may dalawa tayong tainga is for us to listen attentively, quick to listen. Kaya sinabing, kaya daw isa lang ang ating dila, reason we have only one tongue is for us to slow to speak. Listen more, speak less. Does human anger control you? Just ask yourself now. Does human anger control you? You usually get angry when provoked. Pause for a moment, listen attentively, look intently, personally reflect on this. How often do you hear someone angrily shout inside your home? Often. Now, if you really are very desperate, you are very desperate to free your home from human anger, you are very desperate, pray desperately also. Be desperate in your prayer that the Holy Spirit produce fruit. Love. Can you recite the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you have self-control, then it's not easy for you to get angry, right? You have love, it's not easy for you to get angry, right? If you have joy, it's not easy for you to get angry. If you have peace, why get angry? Patience, why get angry? Many times, parents would pray, Lord, give me patience. I'm so easy to get angry. Why pray for patience? Did the Bible say pray for patience? You'd rather want to pray to be filled with the Spirit. Why? So that you would be filled by the fruit, with the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not just patience. And patience, when you pray for patience, it's the fruit of the Spirit. If you pray for patience, the fruit of the Spirit is that you are asking. Then pray that the Holy Spirit would bear fruit in your life. Instead of every time you get angry, you pray for patience. Each time you are upset, you pray for patience. Why not continue to pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Again, personal question. Have you fully realized freedom in Christ? What freedom have you had in Christ? Do you have in Christ? Has Christ saved you completely from the penalty of sin? Can you say amen to that? Are you very sure of eternal life? By faith, yes, by faith. How about the power or pressure of sin? Are you freed from the power and pressure of sin? By God's grace. Believers who are still enslaved, easily pressured and influenced by sin, they can be easily exposed by human anger. Human anger will expose you if you're still enslaved. Listen attentively. Look intently. How can we realize freedom from sin? It says, read again. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and it continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. See, perfect law that gives freedom. Continue what the law says. Of course, it's not by human effort again. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. By faith in Christ, we have been freed from the penalty of death, a penalty of sin, which is eternal death or hell. By faith, we believe that. And cheerful obedience to godly instruction, it exhibits faith. And by faith, we live in godly principles. And God blesses what we do. It says, they will be blessed in what they do. Your chores, duties, responsibilities, obligation, and those things that you do, you will be blessed. Godly lifestyle practically shows freedom from the power and pressure of sin. Am I still pressured? Am I still influenced by sin? I look at my life, then ask the Lord to help me be freed. Don't just simply claim, oh yeah, I've been freed from sin. We've got to be very sure and practically experience that freedom from the control of sin. So what shall we do? There was this news article about moose. You know that moose, what is moose? Have you seen a moose? Deer, there are a lot of deer, but moose is huge. About 800 to more than 1,000 kilograms, 1 ton. How huge is that? Big, right? This moose tried to, but cannot free itself. It fall into a icy lake. There you go. It tried hard to free itself, but it cannot. So good fellows, they rescued the moose. The rescuers break the ice. It made a passage, and the moose walked through it until it reached the solid ground. That is not just one example. There are many instances. There are the big bucks where they cannot carry. They just break the ice and let the deer or animals walk through that passage that they make. The moose walk through it until it reaches the solid ground. The moose get out the ice from the icy water hole. The moose was freed because it willingly walked and followed the path leading to solid ground that the rescuer had made. Icy lake can be very attractive, but victims may step on a very thin ice, fall into very cold, icy water, and cannot get out like the helpless moose who will come for rescue. If you are sinking deep in sin, you may desperately try on your own effort, try to do everything, but cannot get out. Listen. Pray for willingness to walk and follow Jesus Christ, the truth, the life, the way to freedom from control of sin. The perfect law of God offers godly principles we should practically follow to realize and get into a solid ground of soul of godly life. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." The condition of God's blessing is obedience to Him. The love of the Lord is unconditional, but His blessings are conditional to obedience. Obedience equals blessing. Let's stand up. Let's bow down our head and ask yourself, what sin is still pressuring me or controlling me? Ask the Lord for increase of faith. Ask the Lord to help you be freed from the control of sin. Ask the Lord to obey godly principles that He would show you.